Okay, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are on Daf Lamed Gimel in Yerachos Adikim, and this is Shir number 6 for Shar HaAnava. On the bottom of the page, Harbe Anofim, How Anava, we're going to find out, gentlemen, in this session, this page, next paragraph, how humility affects other midos as well. Harbe Anofim Tovim Tzomchim Mishoresh HaAnava. There are many branches, good branches, that sprout forth from the roots of humility. And he explains, number one, anav hu savlan, a person who is humble, a person who is filled with humility, is an anav, he's going to be a person who has savlanos. Savlanos means patience. Now, patience is not an easy trait to attain, of course, but the more humble a person is, the more patient, of course, he will be. And savlonus is a wonderful thing. In fact, the Chofetz Chaim writes that ruba de ruba, most problems or challenges in life are taken care of and disappear simply with patience. If a person would only have the gedul to wait a little bit, maybe it'll take a day, maybe it'll take a week, maybe it'll take a year, some things take longer, of course, but ruba de ruba, most of our challenges in life disappear when we have patience. Now, we live in a society that teaches us not to have patience. I mean, you remember those days when you had to wait for the rotary phone to come back to dial the next number. So we've lost savlonos because now you have touch tone, of course, and now touch tone is too slow, so you have instant messaging or instant dial, you know, just push one button, and soon they'll have voice activated, and in the future probably, they have it already. So one day they'll have, you just think about the number that you want to dial, and then they're working on it. So you see... So you see that the society teaches us that we're not good for patience. Just another example of this, where it manifests itself. If you recall, in the good old days, if we can call them that, going to a baseball game, and in between innings, what did we do? We waited. That's what we did. We had the patience to sit there for 3-4 minutes, whatever it was, until the other team took the field and the first team went to the dugout. You waited. Now, people don't wait. Now you have mascots. You have the big screen that's showing you who knows all kinds of mishigasin. And you have them throwing out, tossing out prizes to the fans. Why? Because people cannot just sit and wait. You know, I'm all a katzaitin. So this is another manifestation. Yeah. So this is another manifestation of the lack of patience. But he says a person who has humility. Now the Aruch HaTzadikim continues and says, "Umeha savlanos yavo shalom." And if a person is imbued with the midah, the trait of patience, then he will be filled with peace. Why? Kibanavo yashkit kas shel adam hakoyisalav. Because of a person has patience, and someone gets him angry, he will deal with it properly. And if he deals with anger properly, then he will have a more peaceful existence. Like it says, "Ma nerach yoshev chema." If a person answers in a soft voice, it turns away wrath. It turns away anger. In other words, somebody gets us angry, the natural response is to answer, to respond angrily. You yell at me, I'll yell at you. And the Shlomo Melech Mishlei says in this pasuk that if you want to quiet the person down, don't answer him back angrily. Don't yell back. Don't scream. Don't rant and rage. Answer him softly. The guy that we're talking about, the same person who's angry at you, the same person who screamed at you. But if the psyche of the human being is going to Shlomo Melech, that if you answer softly, the result will be that he will calm down. V'hashalom, and of course, v'hashalom, the midah of shalom, himidah tov miyod, the midah of shalom, the trait of peace, obviously is a wonderful trait to have. So you see already the effects that anava has. Number one, it allows a person to be a savlon. You have to have sabdanus to have patience. Number two, that allows a person to respond properly to kas. And if he responds properly to kas, then obviously he's going to avoid machlokas, he's going to avoid fights and arguments, and he'll end up with peace. Let's continue on the bottom of the page. Onav yesh lo chein. A person with humility is going to be filled with chen, with favor. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, also Mishlei v'la'anovim yiten chen. Hashem gives to an anov favor. That means other people. He will find favor rather in others' eyes. People will like him. Hey anov, let's turn the page. Tefilas mikubelas v'nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And the person who's an onav, his tefillos, his prayers are accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yan ki hu mavi al midosav. Simply because he's the kind of person who's referred to in Chazal as mavir al midosav. Mavi al midosav could be translated different ways, but simply it means that he is a forgiving person. He overlooks. You know, he doesn't take things that seriously. So only a person who is filled with humility can be forgiving. Uveglal Zen, now listen to this, an amazing incident. Uveglal Zen is kabbalat tefilos asher Rabbi Akiva, and it was because of this that the tefillah of Rabbi Akiva was accepted. Kisha Omar, when he said the following words, Avinu Malkeinu, etc. Now, the Gemara there describes a situation that happened, that there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael, and the people gathered together to be mispalled HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should rain. And up arose was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer got up and he said, not one tefillah, not two tefillah, but Rabbi Eliezer said 24 tefillahs, and not a drop of rain. Right, he sat down, Rabbi Akiva got up, and he said, this one tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu, etc. He said, one tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu, started pouring. So the people's reaction was, oh, it must be that Rabbi Akiva is a greater person than Rabbi Eliezer, because if he says 24 and he's not answered, Rabbi Akiva says one tefillah, so Rabbi Akiva must be greater. So a bas kol came out of heaven, a heavenly voice, said, that's not the reason. The reason Rabbi Akiva was answered is not because he's greater than Rabbi Eliezer. The reason that Rabbi Akiva was answered is because he, Rabbi Akiva, is mavir al midosav. He is a forgiving person. He is filled with humility more than Rabbi Eliezer. Now, please, don't mistake this to mean that Rabbi Eliezer was a Baal Gaiva. Chas v'shalom. It's just that in comparison to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva was more of a humble person, therefore he was able to be more forgiving. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his one prayer versus the 24 prayers of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is one pshat. There's another pshat in Mavir al Midosav there. The pshat we said until now was a pshat of the Iyun Yaakov. In the Sefer Ein Yaakov. But the Eitz Yosef says a different pshat. Mavi al Midosav means he went against his natural grain. See, Rabbi Eliezer was what we refer to these days as a FFB. He was from birth. He was born into a Torah family. Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of not only people who were not observant, but he was a descendant of converts, of Gerim. So his natural tendency should have been to follow suit, to live a lifestyle as his predecessors. But he went against his grain, and at the age of 40, of course, he turned around, and he started studying Torah, and that's why his tefillos were answered, because Mavir al Midosav, he went against his natural tendencies. So when people complain, sometimes people say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from me for acting a certain way? That's the way I am. That's the way I was born. That's the way I was brought up. This was the society. This was the neighborhood. These were my friends. These were my relatives. It doesn't make a difference. You see from Rabbi Akiva that the responsibility a person has is to do the right thing. You were brought up in a certain... All right, that's your challenge. Everybody's got a challenge. And that perhaps is your challenge. We once mentioned here... I believe we mentioned here the greatness of Rabbi Akiva that he started at 40. If you go to the Kfarim in Tzfat and Svarian in Tveria, you will see most of the tzaddikim are buried in one place, the Rambam and so on and so forth. And then Rabbi Akiva is buried alone. He was killed by the Romans, Rabbi Akiva, and he was buried where he was murdered. There are no other graves except for one. Who's in next to the grave of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato. The Ramchal, the author of the Mesillas Yesharim, is buried next to Rabbi Akiva. So when I saw that years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I wondered, there's got to be something here. So I did some research and I found that it's an amazing thing. That the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato, died at 40 years old. He was the Gilgul of Rabbi Akiva, who started studying Torah at 40 years old. So the Mesillas Yesharim was the reincarnation of Rabbi Akiva to make up the 40 years that Rabbi Akiva did not have a Torah life. And that's why they buried the Ramchal right next to Rabbi Akiva. It's an amazing, amazing thing. The question is being asked there if Rabbi Eliezer's tefillas, as great as he was, were not answered. What do we say for ourselves? How do we expect our tefillas to be answered? That's a question that doesn't necessarily relate, but this is a general question, an excellent question. And the one answer could be given, as was given, is according to the generation. So we're not in Rabbi Eliezer's generation. In our generation, maybe we can be the Rabbi Eliezer's. And if a person feels he's not the Rabbi Eliezer of his generation, because you have Gedolim, you have people who are greater, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges commensurate with the potential that we have. So if I'm living up to my potential, I could be closer than someone who is considered a Gadol Hador. That's number one. Another answer that I used to hear from our Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, was that we are riding on their shoulders. They planted the seeds. Rabbi Eliezer, it was as great as he was, of course, but we are keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs that we do upon his shoulders. If we are on top of his, if without Rabbi Eliezer, we'd be on ground zero. But since we are studying his Torah, and since we are following his lessons, so we're on top of Rabbi Eliezer. So he is our base, so as tall as he is, if I can jump on top of his shoulders, I don't have to be as big as the person I'm standing on top of. I can be a wimp. I can be a peewee. But if I'm standing on top of a giant's shoulders, then consequently I am higher. And that's why we have the potential, because the question is asked, how in the world is it possible that we should bring Mashiach in our days? I mean, if Rav Moshe Feinstein could, the Vilna Gaon could, the Rambam couldn't bring it, so I'm going to bring the Mashiach. How could it be? That's the pshat. The pshat is they laid the groundwork and we are on top of their shoulders. So consequently we are higher in a way, so the potential to bring the Mashiach is there. The third line down from the top, Anav Zocha Leshakim, an Anav is Zocha merits to become more wise. Why is that? He will raise his level of wisdom. Ki yikana lefnei chachamim, because he will humble himself before those who are considered chachamim, umisabek ba'afar aglehem, and he will sit in the dust of their feet. In other words, he's willing to learn from others. If any person is willing to learn from others, by the result is going to be that you're going to end up being more of a chacham simply because you're willing to learn from others. V'nemar, and furthermore, it says in Mishlei, holech es chachamim yechkam, a person who keeps the company of chachamim will become more wise. Now, simply this means by association. In other words, you hang out with these kinds of people, you're going to become more wise. The Ralbag says that it's a different cheshbon here. It's a schus that a person has by the fact that he decides to associate with Chachamim, Hashem gives him wisdom. It's not so much the association that somehow through osmosis the wisdom comes from the Chachamim to me. No, because I chose to keep these kinds of people as my company, Hashem gives me a gift. What's the gift? He gives me wisdom. But either way, we see that a person humbles himself, is willing to humble himself to sit before others, then he becomes more wise. Let's go further. A person who is humble will receive the rachmanis, the compassion and the pity from Hashem. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, also in Mishlei, Umode v'ozev yirucham. If a person admits that he sinned, and he forsakes those sins, then yirucham, he will be pitied. The Metzudas David says, that his anava, his humility, sparks a reaction of pity and forgiveness. And that's why he gets forgiven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, a person who is humble, he runs away from greatness and from honor, ubozet tuluya hatznius, and tznius, whatever tznius is, we'll explain in a moment, simply it is translated as modesty, hinges on this, hinges on humility. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, and this is a famous pasuk in Micha, vatznia leches im elokecha, a person who goes through life with tznius, whatever tznius means, then then you are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are a few notes that I want to make mention of here. Simply this means Hashem Elokecha. If I sin against Hashem, you know, when you sin against another person, the person, you go and ask forgiveness. What the person on the person who you're asking has a right to say, listen, you sinned before me and other people who are around. You embarrass me in front of others. You want to ask forgiveness? Let's gather the people together and ask forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're a humble person, if you're a person of tznius, im Hashem Elokecha, it's just between me and you. I won't ask you to ask forgiveness and make an announcement. You never see on Yom Kippur, as anybody gets up in shul publicly and says, hear ye, hear ye. I did this year, and I did this year, and I ate where I shouldn't have eaten, and I went where I shouldn't have gone. Nobody does that. You sit by your machza yourself, and you're doing tshuva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course you have to ask for, Bein Adam L'Chaver, you have to ask forgiveness from a fellow friend, 100%. But in terms of the Bein Adam L'Makom, when we sinned against God, that's between me and God. Nobody has to know my business. Why? That is the result of being a humble person. So that's number one. But this is very important, gentlemen. There's a Gemara, there's a Me'am Loes that says that Eliyo Hanavi makes a statement that those who are humble and modest will sit in the curtain of Hashem. Now, that is an amazing thing. You know, after, well, when we are ready for the world to come, I don't know how to describe it, because simply I don't know what it is. But one thing we know for sure, that we're going to be in the presence of Hashem. Now, the presence of Hashem is different madrigas, different levels. You know, I can sit in the bleachers, or I can sit within the confines of the curtain that is drawn around the Shechina, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Eliyahu HaNavi says the Me'am Loes makes an announcement that a person who lives a life of tznius is going to sit in the immediate confines of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world to come. Now, I just want to clarify, although we've mentioned this before around this table, and that is the definition of tznius. Most people mistakenly define tznius as the length of the skirt, or the length of the sleeves, or the neckline. That is not what tznius means. That is included in what tznius means. And the biggest proof is that tznius applies to a man, not only to a woman. If you talk about a hemline, you know, and you're talking about the elbow line and the neckline, that's seemingly only women. It applies to men as well. Tznius, if you look in the pasuk and the Mefarshim, tznius means hidden, private, which means humility. The reason that a person is supposed to dress in a certain manner, or not dressed in a certain manner, which applies to a man as well as a woman, is different guidelines for a man and for a woman, of course, because of the gender. But the reason for dressing in a certain way, or not dressing in an improper way, is because when a person is dressing in a manner that allows themselves to be uncovered, that is a lack of humility. That means they are showing off. That means they're exposing themselves to others. Spurs, that's for that. That is a tznius. A person is supposed to have a sense of tznius. That means modesty. It's privacy, and it's humility, because it shows if a person is humble, he doesn't show off. Now, of course, from these rules, from the essence of tznius, of modesty, of privacy, of hidden, the Chazal learn out certain halachos and guidelines of what the skirt length has to be, and so on and so forth, and the man's dress code as well. Who says it's proper for a man to walk through the streets without a shirt on, or a pair of shorts? You know, if you're in an area that you play ball and sports, and it's designated for sports activity, fine, that's understandable. But just go to shopping, go to the mall in a pair of shorts, or a sleeveless shirt, or certainly a bare chested. You know what I mean? For a man, people walk around like that. That is a lack of tznius, and it's talking about a man. Because it shows a lack of humility. Who do you think you are? You're exposing yourself to that. Okay? Let's continue. A person who is humble is going to be the kind of person who is sameach bechelko. He's going to be satisfied with that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. And we've spoken much about, you know, being sameach bechelko. You know, it's interesting. There's a radak on this pasuk in Micha. I'm sorry, on this pasuk that we're about to read here. Shenema tov ma'at la tzadik mehamun rishon rabim. He says a little bit for a righteous person is going to be even better than a fortune for a wicked person. In other words, a tzadik is going to be more satisfied even though he has less than the rasha who has more. So the Radak on this pasuk says that a Rasha simply will not be happy even though he has much. And a Tzaddik is going to be happy even though he has much less. And of course, it works in Madrigas, it works in levels, and of course a lot has to do with attitude. You know, if a person is an optimist, he'll see things in the right way. If he's a pessimist, you know, you can have $1 million in the bank. If a guy's a pessimist, he's looking for $2 million. If a person's an optimist, he's got $100 in the bank. Not too much, but hey, he's going to make sure he has it, and he's going to make sure he's satisfied with it. And in this manner, by being satisfied with the amount that a person has, he will be more calm. And he won't find himself chasing his tail of the challenges of the world, because he realizes he really doesn't need the extra car, or the extra suit, or the bigger house. And if that happens, of course, he has more time to dedicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, so that he can pave his way properly for the world to come. And by the way, we've mentioned many times before that the end of a person's life, he's asked six questions, you know, the entrance exam into Gan Eden. And the first question is, did you conduct your business affairs with emuna, with trust in Hashem? And the very next question is, that follows it, number two question is, did you set aside, kavat itam l'Torah, thank you, did you set aside time to study Torah every day? So I heard a beautiful pshat, that's why that question follows the first question. Because if a person conducts his business life, with emunah, with trust in Hashem, he's going to leave, if his work day ends at 5 o'clock, he's going to leave the office at 5 o'clock. If I stay until 6, I'll make more money. If I stay until 8, I'll make more money. I'd be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do what I have to do and that's it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will supply whatever my needs are. Then, guess what? He leaves his office at 5 o'clock and he has time to learn Torah during the day. So he's able to answer the second question in the affirmative. Did you set aside time to learn Torah? Of course I set aside time to learn the Torah every day, because I left my office when I was supposed to. I didn't get involved in a rat race. Okay? Let's continue. A person who is humble will judge every person, will judge others. That means favorably. Listen to the story, gentlemen. A chassid was asked, a pious individual was asked, you were recognized during your life as a master of your community. How did you get that reputation? Here's the answer. Heshev, he answered. Bipnei shekal adam sheroisi, every person that I met, hechzaktiv Yosef told me many, I established in my mind that that person is better than I am. He's a better person than I am. What do you mean? How could that be? How could that be that everyone's better than you? Here, he goes through, step by step. If he was a wiser person than I was, then I said to myself, Gam hu yirei Elokim yosef mimeni. If he's more wise, he must be more God-fearing. Because if he's so wise, it must be that he developed a sense of Yirat Shamayim. Let's say I know that he was less wise than I am. I know I'm smarter than he is. So how can I think he's better? I said to myself, "Hu shogeg vani mezer." He sinned inadvertently, b'shogeg. But when I sinned, I'm smarter than he is. But I knew the halacha better, and therefore, when I sinned, I did it intentionally. If he was older than I was in years, Amarti, I said, if he lived longer than I did, then obviously he must have more. He has many more merits because he had more opportunity, more time to get more merits. And if I was older than he was, Amarti, I said, if he's younger than I am, then he has fewer sins than I do. Because I am older, I had more of a chance to sin. Let's say he was as wise and the same age as me. I said, Libo tov le'elokim yosef mimeni. He must have had a better heart to God than I do. Because I know the sins that I committed, but there's no way that I know the sins that he committed. So it must be that he's better. And if he was wealthier than I, Amarti, I said, you also said, Stakos Yosef Mimeni. He uses his money in the right way. He gives stakah, he gives charity. And if he was less fortunate than I am, if he was a poorer person than I am, Amarti, I said, Ki hu zedako shval ruach Yosef Mimeni, who told me many. If he is less wealthy than I am, he's a pauper, he must be a very humble, down-to-earth person, because obviously if he doesn't have too many bucks in the bank, then how much could he brag about, you know, who he is? So he's probably more of a humble person. I'm wealthier, I'm more of a Baal Gaiva, and therefore he is better than I am. And therefore, with this reasoning, I was able to honor all other people, and I would humble myself before them. So you see, gentlemen, in this paragraph, we see step by step the advantages. Number one, advantages of being humble and what the humility leads to. And of course, the psyche and all of the ripple effects, the positive ripple effects of being a humble person. I don't need that much. I dedicate more time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm moichel other people. I value the stature of other people more than myself. So before you know it, it's a person that, you know, a humble person is standing on the top of the world just simply because the way he views the world, he views his state of being, and he views other people. The question is being asked here, that it's possible perhaps to be patient without having humility. I doubt that very much, and I'll try to prove it. Imagine that you have an appointment, that you made up to meet someone for an appointment at 5 o'clock. You show up at 5 o'clock, and it's 5:05, and it's 5:10, the person doesn't show up. Okay, 10 minutes, big deal. 5:15, you're getting a little hot under the collar. 5:30, the guy doesn't show up. Now you're furious. Finally, the guy shows up at 5:45. And you give him over the head, I've been waiting here until 5 o'clock, we made up at 5 o'clock, where you been, what's going on? Wait a second. You don't have patience? You don't have patience? What do you mean, what does patience have to do with? You want to keep your mother waiting? Keep your mother waiting, don't keep me waiting. I mean, after all, you're talking about me here. That's where the humility comes into place. You're keeping me waiting. Would I get upset with you? I don't mean your mother, that's what you should do, of course, chas v'shalom. I mean that if it doesn't bother me, it doesn't bother me if you keep someone else waiting. You want me to be patient? Me? You're talking about keeping me waiting. It's like we gave the example. You know, guy steps on your toe, you get upset with him. Why? If the same guy stepped on someone else's toe, would you get upset with him? No. Someone else's toe. But now you're messing with my toe. Wait a second, that's my toe. So you want to keep someone else waiting? Don't bother me. But you're keeping me waiting. Ah, A person who has humility, what's like, I was kept waiting. Who am I anyway that I can't be kept waiting? No? And then you start judging favorably. Maybe you got stuck somewhere. But a person who doesn't have humility is going to lose his cool simply when someone keeps him waiting, because it's keeping him waiting. It's not just keeping someone waiting. Varaya, keep someone else waiting. I don't get upset at you. No, that's the kind of person you are. You keep people waiting. But you kept me waiting. So you see, the humility is 100% necessary in order to have savlanus, in order to have... Okay, we'll end here this session, gentlemen. Have a wonderful evening.